Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
All right, time for a break. We'll be right back. 6:15. We're in Jackson Square at the Presbyterian. Today, WWO continues our week-long remembrance of Katrina and celebration of New Orleans, presented by Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser and Louisiana State Museums. Right now, the reason I was rattled before is, first of all, we thought he was going to be on the phone, but he came walking in, and we're so happy to see Carl Arredondo, former WWL-TV meteorologist. How you doing, Carl?
I'm good, Tommy. Good to see you.
Good to see you, and along with him is his partner, who is, of course, the second half New Orleans' hottest couple, and we worked together on the show Know-It-Alls, is Isis Casanova. And that's why I was so rattled, because I had no idea she was coming. How you been, Isis?
I'm doing great, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good. You miss the old days, the Know-It-All days?
I sure do. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, Doug Mouton once phrased it best when he said it was kind of like Jeopardy, only nowhere near as good. Carl, tell me about when... I guess I'll take it back to Friday afternoon, because I was working in FM radio, and I remember calling a salesperson in and saying, look at this here, because I was watching the people get ready for the Saints game. We're in what is now the Benson Tower.
Right.
And I noticed it started to aim a little bit to the left here. I said, look at that. That's kind of interesting. When did it first get your attention?
Well, I think when it made the big shift off towards the west from Florida Panhandle all the way to us, basically, by the 10 o'clock advisory in the
evening. That's Friday night, right?
Friday night. Yeah. Everybody was enjoying the Saints game there, and nobody had any idea or clue, worried about the storm, because they thought it was going to Florida when they went into the game. After the game, big shift. People probably still didn't know till the next morning after celebrating, you know, a football game. And then that morning, you know, panic set in. Everybody saw that the track wasn't shifting anymore. It was right towards us. And we had less than 48 hours to really evacuate or hunker down across, you know, southeast Louisiana and south Mississippi.
What I realized yesterday, and I hadn't before, is that because it happened on Friday evening, people left work on Friday thinking they were going to be right back on Monday, and that's why there were so many Katrina separations, where all of a sudden it was like a bomb dropped and you didn't see anybody again for a long, long time, if ever.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we go through that all the time. You know, you go for a day, you come back, and everything's fine. You know, it wasn't anything big, and But we know now with the levee breaches and after all that water that there was just no coming back anytime soon.
And I'm not trying to be silly here, but you know that movie The Perfect Storm, where the guy is sitting there and he's looking at the screen ready in the air?
Yeah.
Was there a moment like that for you where you looked at this and your eyes got big and it's like, holy moly, I can't believe this?
Well, I think by Sunday evening when we saw Category 5 just sitting off our coastline, I mean, that put the fear of God into a lot of people that were going to stay when they saw that. And then that Sunday night, I was at the Hyatt Hotel. The broadcast had shifted from Rampart Street to our crew in Baton Rouge.
This is Sunday night now?
Sunday night, right before landfall. I saw the radar that we had on the air, and I saw where it was coming on shore in Plaquemines Parish. And I knew with the final track going over parts of St. Tammany and the Mississippi Gulf Coast that many people weren't going to have a home to come back to. And that included me, because I lived in Slidell at the time.
What did the people in Burris and Southern Plaquemines experience at about this time, I guess, 20 years ago?
About this time, I mean, 5 or 6 o'clock a.m. landfall, the winds 135 probably. It was expected.
Sustained.
It probably came on shore as a 3, even though it was predicted to be a 4.
Let me interrupt for a second. When you say sustained, that means winds are blowing at 135 miles an hour for how long?
For about a minute or so.
Okay.
Yeah, so it stays pretty consistent, and the gusts were even higher than that. So a lot of our power went out well before the peak. So we don't actually know reporting stations how strong the winds were. We know what winds were last reported before power went out a lot of places, and it didn't seem like very, very large winds, strong winds, but it was, and unfortunately it did the damage it did. And then after the fact, you know, the breaches and water filled in, Slidell got the water after the storm passed, and it sloshed all the way to the western part of Lake Pontchartrain, then sloshed back like a bathtub. You know, you push water one way, it comes back the other way, and it made all its way into southeastern St. Tammany Parish.
Throughout this week, as we've been talking about this, I want to make sure I didn't ignore the people, and I live in Plaquemines Parish in Lower Plaquemines. What kind of storm surge did they see? What kind of water came across?
I think they were about 25, 30 feet. So it was pretty high, because remember, a Category 5 hurricane just off our coast came on shore, even though it wasn't a 5 as a wind hurricane. That 5 storm surge didn't have time to come down with the winds, so we had a pretty large storm surge that really inundated the entire area.
And when we say storm surge, it's not a wall of water, right? But it's a consistent push of water. Define that for
a me. Consistent buildup of water as the storm continues to push the winds push the water towards shore. So it's a very fast increase in the water. So the water comes up pretty fast. You hear all the stories of the people with storm surge along coastal areas. The water came up fast. So not like a tsunami type, you know, where it's all one big wave that comes in, but a buildup of water that consistently increases as time goes on.
ISIS may know this. How tall is a ceiling in like an old shotgun house? Do you have any idea?
Usually about 10 feet. It depends on how old. It could be anywhere from 8 to 12.
So let's say 12 feet. You're talking about twice that, and it's just terrifying, because if you, I always say, if you go to, like, you know, you jump into waves and Destin and so forth, and you feel the force of the water.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Oh,
like
yeah.
25 to 30 feet.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Just moving cars, moving everything around in its path.
Mm. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Carl Arredondo, former WWL-TV forecaster, and, of course, my friend Isis Casanova, who is Carl's friend as well, and was with me on Know-It-Alls. What do you do now?
Wait, friend? Did you just say friend?
Well,
like, look,
friend.
You know, I'm not giving a deposition here, Isis. I'm trying to make it nice.
She's my best friend.
Carl's friend. is that what you mean, friend?
It sounded like you said she was my friend.
Yeah, like I was Carl's
friend. I didn't know how to... Carl's significant other? I don't know.
Fiancé.
Yes.
Oh, fiancé?
Better half.
Okay, I didn't know fiancé.
Better half.
Well, congratulations to both of you. I don't know why she's still seeing me. All right, 621 traffic now, WWL. All right, 626, we're visiting with Carl Arredondo, who was nice enough to join us in person, and his fiancée, Isis Casanova. We used to work together on that show, Know-It-Alls. Carl, take me from, I guess, landfall on, you from the Hyatt. You were at the Hyatt at what time and when, Sunday night?
Sunday night at 11 o'clock, we stopped our broadcast on Rampart Street, and then we went to the Hyatt for the night. And then by 9 o'clock in the morning on Monday, after the storm passed, we were able to leave the Hyatt and get back to the station and continue broadcast at Rampart Street. And we stayed throughout the day on Friday, Monday, through Monday night. And Tuesday morning, we woke up, beautiful sunny day, and then all of a sudden, we hear water was coming into the city. So we knew that we might have to evacuate the station. We didn't know how far the water was going to fill up. Of course, when you're closer to the river, chances are the flooding's not going to be as bad.
Did the studio on Rampart Street flood or not?
Not at all. Okay. We had a little damage to one of our fences in the back parking lot, but the station held up well.
But so you didn't know.
We didn't know, yeah. So out of precaution, we went to the Hyatt, and then when the water was starting to rise on Tuesday, at least when we found out the water was rising, we made our way to our transmitter site on the West Bank and continued.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Broadcasting from there, because fortunately, after Hurricane George, our company that owned us, Belo, fortified that transmitter site and allowed us to be the only station to stay on the air broadcasting TV-wise during, before, and after the storm. So we were broadcasting from New Orleans the whole time.
Do you feel like you are part of history with all of this? I mean, because it was a historical, life-changing event for just about everybody who lived here.
It was, and I do in a way, but I think after landfall, it was more of a news story as opposed to a weather story. Mm-hmm. So my part of it ended after landfall and, you know, the storm surge and everything. And then it was more of definitely news. So all our reporters and anchors all kicked in. And, you know, we even did in the weather department trying to forecast, because we still had very hot conditions afterwards and made things more unbearable for the people that didn't have any place to go and were stranded outside the convention center and the Superdome. So weather was definitely a factor at that point too.
Let me talk to your fiancé for a second. Isis, you were watching this unfold. You were living in Mexico at the time, trying to pick up this report, that report, very familiar with the city. What was going through your mind?
Well, it's, you know, I grew up here, so even though I was far away, it felt like I was part of the chaos. And my family was here, and I couldn't get a hold of them. All the lines were down. It was just impossible to get call anyone. And I don't know why, but at some point, I was just so desperate, I just put it on Facebook. Since most of the people that I know on Facebook are from New Orleans, I just said, my family's missing. If you know where they are, please let me know. And at some point, like just like a day or two, because they were evacuating, they had Wi-Fi wherever it was, somewhere in Texas, I think. And that's how I communicated with my family, because I could not get lines from Mexico to New Orleans.
Well, what was going through your mind as you were watching these images of fires, flooding, this, that, the other thing? Did you think the city would ever come back, honestly?
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Until this day, people still ask me, oh, New Orleans, oh, that's the place where they had that hurricane. It went from Mardi Gras to the hurricane city.
Still. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you both for coming in. A pleasure seeing you again, Isis and Carl as well.
You.
Man,
Tommy,
I love you both.
Always good, Tommy.
You bet. Thank you all for coming in. And we'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Allison Plyer, who is the head of the Demographics Center, chief demographer at the Data Center. We'll talk about how the demographics of the city and the area have changed. 6:30, time for WWL First News.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.